lie awake at night pondering life's big questions? Is there a God? What is the meaning of life? How would one do an hour-long sports show without ever actually talking about sport? If yes, we can help you answer 33% of these pressing questions. All you have to do is check out The Starting Block on tavshow.com, Periscope, Stream Me, or YouTube, Wednesday mornings at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also download the podcast on iTunes just by searching for The Starting Block in the store or at thestartingblock.podbean.com. Or if you're really desperate for answers, why not check us out on Twitter at The Starting Block, no K at the end, don't forget to drop that K. Enlightenment is now only a click away.
Radio's loss is tavshow.com's gain. You're listening to The Starting Block.
Welcome to The Starting Block for another week. You've got myself, Greeno, and I'm joined by a man who's been indulging in the blood of Christ since earlier today, my co-captain Damo. How are we, sir?
Very good, Greeno. I'm very high on the spirit of Christ today. Happy Easter, by the way. Happy Easter.
Good Friday, big week. It may not be Good Friday in all places, but
no, it
here
is
in
now.
Australia.
It is now, definitely, because it's like 5:30 a.m. in New York.
Oh, fair call. Yeah, no, all good.
Well, it's 6 a.m. Yeah. in New York City. New York City. Yeah. 6 a.m. in New York.
New York.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know. They can't go outside.
Well, that's a good point, actually. How do you do an Easter egg hunt when you can't go outside?
It's all indoors. It's you hide it under the stovetop, you hide it in the pantry, you hide it in the fridge. It takes the fun out of it when the chocolate's already in the fridge.
Yeah, I hid it in a packet in the fridge. Go find it.
Yeah.
It's behind the beer. Can you bring the beer, by the way? Just
there's a dozen of them.
Have you been blockheads, millions around the world, on board the listenership, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have you been drinking today, Greeno?
Okay, are we going to do an early kimono pool?
A kimono pool. Do you want a story time?
Yeah. I like stories about pinatas.
It's too late now. I've played it now. I'll close the story.
I like stories about pinatas.
Not technically a story. I think it's more of a kimono pool behind the scenes of the block. So first and foremost, let's talk about a historic moment in this show. Something we haven't done for probably 5 years.
What's that?
We had a legitimate pre-show.
Yeah, we did actually.
So the reason we're on half hour late is because we're sitting there, we're looking at the rundown, we're trying to piece together which stories go where, we're trying to go, hey, make sure you get this video ready. Before we knew it, we were 40 minutes in. And we're like, hang on, what happened? We haven't actually started the show yet, we're late.
See,
then we decided here.
Can I just say, Greeno, normally I'm in favor of the kimono pool, but when you're telling people that we're actually doing legitimate pre-show prep, I'm not in favor of that kimono pool, because when the show obviously turns into a shit show, which it inevitably will. Like, there's no denying it. It will turn to shit. It will be a clusterfuck.
We'll get to that.
Then we can't blame the fact that we didn't do any pre-show, you see. So you're taking that club out of our kit bag now.
All good, mate. I've got this covered, right? So now we can go to Greeno story time.
Okay.
I like stories about pinatas.
So the theory today was, over lunch, I had a nice fish cake meal prepared. And I thought, look, what I'll do is I'll have one glass of red because, blood of Christ, we're all good. Yeah. Like, we'll have one, we'll have it with the fish, then I'll settle down. I've got to be fine for the show tonight. Mm-hmm. There's literally 7 hours between the time we had lunch to the time show starts. So I'm like, no booze time in that. But as soon as that wine hit my lips, I'm like, well, I can't just have one.
I better have
a second glass.
That's all right. I'll resurrect before the show. I'll be fine.
I'm like, if I have the second glass, problem is the first glass I had was the end of a wine bottle. So I had to open a new bottle. So I'm fine with that, because I'm like, I can drink the second bottle of wine later. I don't need to drink it today.
Yep.
But then the wife decided to have a white with me over lunch. And after a couple of sips, she's like, I don't like it. You need to drink this white. So next thing I know, I'm three glasses
all the wine.
I'm drinking all the wine. And I'm like, well, I've had this white. I might as well have another glass of the red. So I'm now four or five glasses in, and by that point it's three, and I'm like, well, I probably should have a beer.
Yeah.
So then I had a beer.
just to take the edge off, like just to calm down. Yeah.
100% right. Just to balance out the wine, because you can't have too much wine. And before I knew it, I'm seven beers in. Now we're on air.
Beautiful. Excellent. Well, that's a good story.
I like stories about piñatas.
I've got a similar story. Do you want to hear my story?
I like stories about piñatas.
So I started today. I didn't work last night. I had a very rare night off work.
Night off? Yeah. Got to take advantage, though.
Well, you see, last night for me would have been a public holiday.
Yeah,
it would have been Good Friday. And normally I work all of the public holidays, but with the current economic situation, the boss said, you know what, why don't you take a night off? And I said, great idea, boss. Thank you very much. I'll take a night off. So I actually got like a full night's sleep in. I woke up at about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, because even if I'm not working nights, I'm still like an early riser, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I got up at like 6 in the morning. I think I hit my first mimosa at about 9:30 a.m.
Ooh, so we're talking, to put it into context, we're now 11 hours past 11
hours.
9 a.m.
We're 11 hours into a stint, into a session.
Yeah, but that's solid.
But for most people, you know me, right? You know I can gut them. You know, I can get
an
11-hour
stint is a Wednesday.
That's right.
Yeah.
100%. And there was also barbecuing that was taking place during that. So, and I'm talking about
Are we talking barbecuing or are we talking slow cooking? Are we talking spit?
No, barbecuing. So, like, piles of lamb chops for lunch.
Okay.
Like, I wanted to be surrounded by lamb. I know you're not supposed to have meat, red meat, on Good Friday, but Lamb of God, man, doesn't that count? The Lamb
Fair
of
enough.
God, like, isn't that a thing? You know, we're
it's
all...
It's a tip of the hat.
Jesus is the shepherd. We're all the sheep. So I decided to eat the sheep. I'm eating the sheep, Greener.
Yep.
But I found a way around it. So I took the lamb and I dunked it in water and then I baptized it salmon. So that's how I get around that shit. So now it's fish. Nice. Now it's fish. Fuck it. I just, you have been reborn as fish. So, I've filled my guts basically with stuff other than alcohol, but I'm now in my third bottle of sparkling red.
Okay, so between us, let's
not
do
regular
math.
Red though, sparkling red. So the bubbles do go sparkling to your head. So I've been on bubbles all day, Greeno. Mimosas and sparkling reds.
So you're 11 hours into a stint. I'm 8 hours into a stint. Between us, we've had 19 hours of drinking.
Happy
before
fucking
we decide
Easter.
To do this potential train wreck of a show.
Yeah, happy fucking Easter.
So if we fuck up, it's got nothing to do with the fact we did pre-show. It's got to do with the fact we're both hammered.
That's right. And that's very unprofessional.
It is unprofessional, but when have we ever been professional on the show?
Good point.
I like stories about piñatas.
That closes the story. Now, Damo, we got to get to Corona Talk because there's nothing else happening in the world.
Oh, do we have to, man?
It's
come
all
on.
Good. It's not real. It's not real Corona Talk. This is our show.
This show is my release from Corona Chan. I do Corona Chan all week, man.
All week. But with that said, I've come to realize I was sitting in the car waiting for the bottle to open. I've now become that guy. Can we actually open Can we do a Greeno story time? Hit the story time again.
I like stories about piñatas.
You're a hobo, Joe.
So last Saturday, I've realized because trying to do grocery shopping during the day is a fucking nightmare these days. They've got limits on people that can go into the shops. It's a nightmare.
Oh,
so,
what about that fucking bullshit rule? Like before 8 o'clock in the morning, you have to be over 80 years old or something?
Over 80, exactly.
What the fuck is that?
I hauled us up last Saturday morning, very early, ready to go, and just like I was edging. I was at the door ready to sprint out at 5 to 8, knowing that the oldies are going to be there. So get into the supermarket at 8, do my groceries. Great. No one's in there. Fucking hammered it out in no time. But that led me to so from there, I had to go and pick up some other stuff in other supermarkets.
Yes.
So I'm like, well, I need to go to Dan Murphy's, got to stock up on beers for the week.
Mm-hmm. You've got to get the Easter booze because the shops are going to be shut, man. You've got to prepare.
Exactly.
Do you think as a country, we prepare more for long weekends with public holidays than we do for, you know, potentially deadly pandemics?
100% correct.
Because I didn't see fucking queues at the bottle shop for like the last 2 months when we were talking about, you know, you may be locked inside your own home for the next 6 months. You might not be able to leave, which is now the case, by the way. If you go outside now, you'll get fucking arrested. But none of that. The only time I saw a line at the bottle shop was the day before Easter. when everybody all of a sudden like, oh my God, the shop's going to be shut for one day. I need to buy all of the beer.
Better get it all.
We're a strange country.
Well, it's also essential services, apparently. Let's not forget that. Yeah. So I'm driving through. I'm going to the damn Murphy's. And in the past, I've driven past going, these people are queuing up before the doors are even open. What sad, sad individuals.
It's like,
what's going on?
It's like junkies queuing up out the front of a methadone clinic, out the front of a free correct. Fucking hit. So we're now queuing up for fucking groceries.
That's right. So last Saturday, I find myself in the car park of one damn Murphy's, looking at the clock, realizing I'm here 10 minutes before opening time and I ain't fucking leaving. I'm going to wait because I'm not going to go somewhere else, come back, because then I'll lose my spot.
Exactly.
Got to be in there. But with that said, it gave me time to realize – when we talk about if I'm thinking about Songs of Rebellion demo, in the history of music, what are you thinking? I'm thinking like Rage Against the Machine, definitely Rage Know Your Machine. Enemy.
Yep.
I'm thinking Brick of the Wall, Pink Floyd.
Yes.
Anything else kind of come to mind? Those kind of songs.
Yep.
At the moment, I come to realize the most rebellious song in the world is this one, demo.
Now, what is this?
Oh, place your hands on my own.
This guy's got killer voice, by the way.
He does. In the current environment, you cannot place your hands anywhere. The fact he's encouraging people to place hands, he's an absolute terrorist.
This is an act of terror. He's encouraging.
This is an act of terror, this song.
He's encouraging rule breaking.
He's asking people to put their hands on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I give you a bit of demo story time?
We can't just let a bit of Reef play out?
Okay, we'll let Reef play out then.
Reef play out whilst you're doing your story time.
Okay, I've got a story.
I like stories about pinatas.
Oh, it is a great song. They're a great band, by the way.
It's the anti-establishment tune of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Reef's Place Your Hands.
Yeah, that guy, the singer's fucking amazing.
Very good.
So I went to the bottle shop the other day, and they've got like the fucking arrows on the floor. Like, you have to walk up this side, you have to line up here, you have to do all this shit. And when I was walking out, so first, the first thing that annoyed me was when I walked in, there's no trolleys, and I was stocking up. There was no shopping carts. And I turned to the girl at the door who's spritzing everybody with fucking hand sanitizer. And I said, yep. So where are the carts? Where are the shopping trolleys? And she said, oh, they're all outside. And I said, oh, okay. And I looked, and people, like just customers, were putting their trolleys back in the row. And so I've kind of laughed, and I've gone down there and directly touched a shopping trolley after a guy's left it there. So I'm now putting my hands where his hands were, but I don't know where his hands have been.
So don't place your hands there.
Right. So I walk back up to the door again, and I said, do they think that it's cleaner outside the store than inside the store? Like, I legit said this to her. And she said, oh, no. They think that it's a bad look if we're handling the shopping trolleys. And I said, but I'd rather you handle it than these fucking people. And there's people like standing there in a door who looked at me when I said that, like like these fucking dirty people here. So while I was in there shopping, by the time I got to the checkout, I noticed they were bringing all the trolleys in the store. And I thought, I've had a fucking impact here today.
Yeah.
I've had a fucking impact. So then I walk out of the store. And I've got my trolley, and it's one of those car parks where the ground is really uneven and bumpy. You know the Dan Murphy's near my place, right?
Yeah.
You can't wheel a shopping trolley in that fucking car park because it'll shake all your shit up.
You need dirt bike wheels just to get through that car park.
So I specifically parked next to the ramp near the front door because I was going to take the trolley down the ramp and put it directly in the back of the ute, right?
Yeah.
So I go to walk down the ramp, and she goes, oh, no, you have to go this way, which means a 30-meter walk through the fucking bumpy car park. And I said, can I not just go this way? And she goes, no, we've set it up this way to handle our flows of people. And I look around. I'm the only fucking person walking out of the store. And I just fucking laugh in her face, and I go, all right, darling. And so I take it, and it took me 5 minutes to, like, hold all of my beverages while the shopping trolley's going through the fucking car park. I came back and I fucking threw the shopping trolley in the pile, like just fucking launched it across the car park, basically. Like, here's your fucking trolley back. And by the time I got in my car, she was on the walkie-talkie and the manager was out there saying, hey, this is fucking ridiculous. We can't be forcing people to walk through the car park if they park next to the ramp. This is bullshit. Yeah. So I had two levels of impact on that bottle shop today.
Two moments. There you go.
Two moments. There you go.
I like stories about piñatas.
Damo, we've got to take, you know, you may wave your finger and shake your head at, you know, the measures that are in place.
You may place your hand.
That's right. The key thing that the politicians are trying to get across is, you know, just don't touch shit, right? Firstly, stay away.
Yep.
And don't touch shit. Mm-hmm. So I was very excited to see this week when one particular politician was trying to lead by example by going through what you can and can't do in a supermarket. Let's have a look at the video.
Okay, let's roll the tape.
Well, here is another well-known face dealing with coronavirus restrictions, so not quite in the recommended way. Opposition leader Deb Frecklington posted this video to Facebook encouraging Queenslanders to buy local, but in doing so is seen handling 20 different supermarket products and placing them all back on shelves.
Well done, Jeff. Touch 20 different products.
Oh.
Get your filthy fucking hands off it.
What a fucking idiot. She's just, I have no other word to describe that than, like, you. I'm kind of like, we're going a little bit over the top. This is all getting a little bit too fucking crazy now. Like, you know, like, we're getting, look, sanitize your own hands, okay? It doesn't mean that you have to be fucking crazy about everything. But in saying that, if you're a politician and you're trying to spread the message of, you know, don't spread germs, don't walk around and touch everything in the fucking shop.
That is a big virus.
20
no-no.
Items.
20.
In one video.
Look at another yogurt company that we love, Queensland Yogurt.
The yogurt company that just put out germy fucking hands.
Oh, not the juice.
Not the juice.
Ms. Frecklington's office says she used hand sanitizer before the video.
Yeah, but no.
Hang on.
Yeah, but cross-contamination, Greeno, right?
Yeah, who knows who's touched the juice before she touched the coffee? She needs to hand sanitize between each touch. But you can't buy the hand sanitizer, so how's she doing it?
Oh, wow. What a fucking idiot.
Now, we've decided to frown upon, what's her name, Deb Frecklington or whatever her name may be.
Deb Frecklington. It's a good politician name.
But it's nice to know there are people out there in the real world who are taking quarantining seriously.
That's right.
We get lectured by celebrities time in, time out, and it's nice to see them kind of taking the front foot and setting an example of how quarantining should be done, which brings us to one Leonardo DiCaprio, who this week has been spotted out there on his diesel-powered yacht. Let's not forget, this guy's an advocate for climate change.
There he is.
With what looks to be close to, what's that, 8 different bikini-clad models out there on his yacht?
I can't do anything except.
Nice, Gary!
We're looking at this video. My question to you is, firstly, are they a meter and a half apart? They do look pretty close.
They're very close, Greeno.
They're very close. Now, that chick's ass cheeks do look like they have been sanitized, so that's obviously positive.
See, if I was Leo on that ship, the last thing I'd be worried about catching would be coronavirus. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's other fucking viruses and bacterial infections that are now floating around on his yacht that weren't there previously. I've just got a hunch, Greeno. I've just got a hunch.
Just a slight tip. Yeah. It's nice to see Leo out there, though, distancing himself from the rest of the community.
Yep. Yeah, he's doing well. Well done, Leo.
Well done.
Congratulations.
Gary?
He's a real activist, Greeno.
Nice, Gary!
His diesel-powered yacht. It's time for our new favourite segment, Damo.
Is it already? What's that? People are fucked.
Now, we're going to do bro, people are fucked first one. Is people are it's hard to get masks these days. After the bushfires in Australia, you know, overall across the world, there's mask shortages. People are trying to do what they can to make sure they're, you know, combination of social distancing and covering their face where they can.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a look at the way people have been inventive thus far without being able to purchase corrective masks. Exhibit A, Damo. This guy's put a plastic bag on his head.
But he hasn't. See, look, I've got to admit that I did this thread on my show, The Daily Boogie, a couple of days ago. So the thing with this particular image, right, that strikes me, so he's not only got the plastic bag over his head, he's also got them over his hands and over the handlebars of the fat person scooter that he's riding. But
I'm assuming he already owns the fat person scooter.
Probably. But that's not the thing that got me first. The thing that got me first is he's filled up his cart with water. I don't believe that for a second. I'm thinking this guy would be filling it up with fucking Pepsi or Coca-Cola. Like, come on, man. What do you want, a diet? Come on. Fuck, water? You're not drinking water, bro. Come on now.
Keep hydrated.
Look at this guy. Fuck. I love the party hat.
Exhibit two. Yeah. Someone's got a party hat over their mouth. Now, it's either that or the world's worst pluck-a-duck impression. I don't know which one she's going.
I like that just because it's coronavirus, just because you might catch a viral infection doesn't mean you can't have a party. Like, this is a party
time.
That's
it. Festive season's still around, 100%.
This is a happy, coronavirus mask, I think. This is bringing joy to the world.
All right. Mastery. Now, I don't know what this man's doing. Firstly, he's got a paper bag over his head.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good. Mm. But then he's gone what looks to be a garbage bag as his shirt.
Yep.
He's gone kitchen gloves as his hands. And he's got, is that toilet paper wrapping around his legs?
That's what I thought it was, toilet paper packaging.
Yeah, toilet paper packaging. Now, firstly, how did he get the toilet paper?
Well, good
question.
Where's
he got it from? Because the toilet paper wrapping is an untapped resource at the moment. This guy must be flush with coin. Secondly, what's the go with the paper bag?
What do you mean? Like paper or plastic?
Yeah, like is he trying to be environmentally friendly?
Probably. No, if he was being environmentally friendly, then he would have one of those reusable bags over his head.
Enviro bags, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The one that you have to pay 20 cents for. You'd have one of them instead.
We got a fourth one?
Yeah, I do. I just want to point out, though, I love the look on the cashier. Look at the way she's looking at him. She's looking at him like, you poor fucking darling. You poor, sweet, innocent boy.
And she's got her hands in her pockets going, I ain't touching your cash.
Yeah, I'm not touching it.
Because if you've rocked up with this, I don't want to know what's going on.
Now, this guy, I thought the number one complaint that I have with this dude is, he's done a rookie mistake, Greeno. You know what that is? He hasn't put the cap on the top of the bottle, so the germs can still get in there. Did you notice that?
I did notice that. But he's trying not to suffocate, I guess. Well done, this guy.
Well done for trying not to suffocate.
Bro.
People are fucked.
We got another bro, people are fucked, I believe. The video I sent you just before we went to air. Let's go to an ad break after. Dude's running into the cars.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you want to give us a bit of backstory on this one, Greeno?
Well, not backstory, but this one's – let's just watch the video. So we've got – for our listeners,
I think we need to go deep analysis on this one.
Dude buck naked as the day he was born.
Yeah.
Who's thought, here's a good idea. I'm going to go for a wander. Because you're allowed to exercise, remember. But let's not forget, we're allowed to exercise.
Now, this is in New York, by the way. This is in the Bronx.
The Bronx, okay. Though not many people out on the street, but he's like, look, how can I get my cardio in for today? I can go for a run for the street, but I don't want these, heavy clothes weighing me down. Yeah, so let's strip those.
That's right. Less wind resistance, Greeno, with your bare ass in the wind. Looks like a beautiful autumn day or spring. What fucking season is it in the state? That's spring, is it?
Spring at the moment. It's beautiful over there.
Beautiful sunny day, Greeno, in New York.
Aside from all the death, it's beautiful.
aside from the piles of bodies and the mass graves. It's a great day.
It's great.
Beautiful.
this man's decided to go sans clothes, go for a bit of a jog. Look, this isn't enough. Do you remember playing Bull Rush as a kid, Damo?
I love Bull Rush. Bull Rush was fantastic.
So can you explain Bull Rush to our American listeners?
Bull Rush is one person running into a whole group of other people and just get fucking smashed. That's what Bull Rush is.
Pretty much right. Spot on. So this guy's gone, look, there's no one around because everyone's social distancing. How about I use the cars as the Bull Rush tires? Let's have a look at the video. Thank
you, man. Look at this. He's just wandering here, right? But then you can pinpoint the moment where he lines up the car. Look at his stance change. Look, I'm slow motioning it. Now he's spotted the car. So he's lining it up like a tackle, right?
Yeah. Oh! Now, you don't have to, if you're listening to the podcast, you don't need to see the video to hear that.
I want to hear it again, though, because it was
No, he's listened to it two more times. It's all right.
It was a good crunch.
Here we go. Let's have a look.
He's killing himself.
He's killing himself.
So he's gone through bull rush target number one.
Yep.
He's like, hang on, I see the Mazda behind it. Let's give that one a crack.
The Mazda. Will the Mazda hold up better than the Dodge, Greeno?
Oh! Bull rush two.
He just keeps getting up, though.
Nah, good on him. This guy's an absolute hero.
Number three. Oh, wait, there's somebody in that car, I think.
Imagine being the poor bastard in the car who's like, what's going on here? Bull rush.
Fantastic stuff.
Bro.
People are fucked.
Now with less than 3% sport content, it's The Starting Block on TAVshow.com.
America, metal again. Oh, wow.
I can see inside you.
The sickness
is rising.
Don't try
to deny what you feel.
Well, you're given to me.
It seems that all that was good has died.
And this decay
in me. Well, you're giving to me.
It seems you're having some trouble
in dealing with these changes.
Living with these changes.
Oh,
the world is a scary place.
Now, if you won't give up, it's the deep man in me.
Get down with the sickness.
Get up, come on.
Get down with the sickness.
Get up, come on.
Get down with the sickness.
Open up your hate
and let it grow into me.
Get up, come on.
Get down with the sickness.
You mother.
Get up,
come on.
Get down with the sickness.
You trumpet.
Get up,
come on.
Get down with the sickness.
Madness is the gift that has been given to me.
Yeah, back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That's the Prez with Down With The Sickness by Disturbed.
El Presidente. I have to give a shout out to JJ Stoner because I only know that clip because he played it on his show. So tip of the hat to JJ Stoner, dlive.tv/JJ Stoner for that one.
Whoever edited that together, unbelievable work.
Fucking, can you imagine the hours that it would have taken? God.
Here's what I'm thinking, right? I assume every single one of the president's press conferences is subtitled, right?
Yep.
Post. So I assume everything you can just go on to some kind of site and just filter through specific words and they will be able to tell you what minutes that he said certain words, right?
Okay.
Either way, still an astounding effort to edit all that back.
A lot of effort. Let's give him a quick
Nice Gary.
Nice Gary for
that.
So
another guy who needs Nice Gary demo is the Jewish people.
Nice Gary.
It's a religious holiday at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we came across this particular video with one of the Jewish leaders talking about coronavirus.
The corona is for the non-Jews. It's not for Am Yisrael. It's not for the Jews.
Okay, so just checking in.
Mm.
The corona, no, the corona. Jews are all good.
Yeah, yeah.
The corona, Jews are all good.
If you're a Jew, no problem. No, like that's what we need to establish here. If you're Jewish, you cannot get the coronavirus.
Okay, good
it's
to
not
know.
For
good to
you. Notice. It's not for you. Not Shalom. For you. Shalom.
For someone else.
Yep.
Someone else.
For the other people. The goy is greener.
Exactly. Which brings us to video number two, Damo. The Israeli health minister, who unfortunately this week turns out, he hasn't had a good week. The Israeli health
Israeli health minister who said coronavirus is punishment for homosexuality has caught coronavirus. So we can only deduce from their own logic that the Israeli health minister is a non-Jew fag, Greeno. He is a gay non-Jew man. Because otherwise, why else would he have coronavirus?
How did he have it? How does he have it?
Because he's a non-Jew fag.
Must be the case. That's got to be a bit awkward when you come home from work and speak to your wife. And you're like, hang on. How was the day, honey? I just went around and told everyone that the reason for the coronavirus was because of the fags.
Look, honey, I've got something to tell you. It's the darndest thing. You're never going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. Turns out that I've got the coronavirus. I swear to you, I only sucked one dick. I only sucked
Lucy,
a dick once.
Lucy, you got splaining to do.
The reason that this is funny to us, though, because Greeno sent me a link, right? And it was this guy saying that coronavirus is divine punishment for homosexuality. And I clicked on the link and it was a broken link. And I'm like, oh, Greeno would never send me a broken link. This doesn't make sense. So I put the title of the link into the search engine and I like to find the original link. And look what happens. So this is 3 days ago. So this is the original story here on Google. Here it is. You click on it. Whoops. The page has disappeared and then it takes you back to the homepage.
Interesting.
It seems that somebody doesn't want us to know about the Israeli health minister saying coronavirus is punishment for homosexuality, Greeno. Why would that be the case?
Why do you think that would be the case, Samo?
Why would that be the case?
I don't understand.
That's very strange to me. I'm sure it's some kind of glitch in the system. I'm sure they didn't intend this to happen.
That's it. Must have been a trainee in the IT department,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, of course. Obviously, Greeno. Yeah. Stop being such a bigot, by the way. Don't be anti-Semitic.
That's enough Corona talk.
Is that it?
Enough Corona talk.
Is that all
we got? That's enough Corona
talk. Okay. What else we got?
Damo, we've been criticised in the past. People said that we objectify women on this show. We're like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? It's too sexist, misogynist,
and chauvinist and sexist.
For one particular segment that we've introduced on the show in the last couple of months called Smash or Pass.
Smash or Pass, which is basically, it's
pretty self-explanatory. Would you smash it or would you pass?
Yeah, and we didn't invent it. Like, it's a thing. It's been around for a long time.
It's been around for ages. We just kind of put it into the lexicon of the show.
We just adopted it because we have no original thoughts of our own.
Exactly. We just steal shit. Yeah. So I thought, look, what better way to kind of like clear the slate, if you will, and even out the content by putting up a male smash or pass.
Nice. After the homosexual coronavirus story, perfect segue.
Even better. So I've decided to put myself up as the experiment.
You volunteered, Greeno.
I volunteered myself for Smash or Pass this particular week. Now, we've got three versions of Greeno, Damo.
Okay.
For the ladies of the listeners of the show, okay, ladies or men, I don't care. I don't care if the men want to Smash or Pass.
You're not picky.
Feel free to comment.
Yep.
So we've got the bearded Greeno as of last week. Smash or Pass.
Would you Smash or Pass?
Feel free to comment. So let's put this as Exhibit A. So in the chat or in the comments, Exhibit A, smash or pass. Then we've got Exhibit B, the Fu Manchu Greeno.
Looks like the Chopper Reed Greeno.
The Chopper
Looks
Reed
like the
Greeno.
Biker Gang Greeno.
That's right. Exhibit B, smash or pass.
Smash or pass.
Put the comments in the chat. And last but not least, we've got Exhibit C, the clean-shaven.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He looks like a little boy. What the fuck happened there?
10 years off my life with one shave, sir.
Absolutely.
Exhibit C, smash or pass.
There you go. Well done, sir.
So for anyone who's fucking criticising our show, going, you're sexist, you only ever smash or pass ladies that are jerking off cucumbers.
And chauvinists and sexist.
We tried to even the balance here by putting the hosts up there as a smash or pass exhibit.
There you go. Well, I'd smash all three, you know that, but I'm biased, you see.
Of course you are.
Because I'm in love with your personality.
That's it. It's all about the insides. That's right. The insides.
And the smooth, warm insides, Greeno. I want to be inside you.
We'll just let that linger. All right, time to be a bit more self-indulgent, Damo. If we couldn't be any more self-indulgent than putting up pictures of myself mid-shave, it's time to talk about the most important thing on this particular show.
Mm.
The personal journal rankings.
Personal journal rankings. Where are we at? Have you studied this? Have you looked into it?
I've looked into the stats, Damo, at chartable.com.
Oh, excellent. So, good. So for a little bit of context, though, a bit of backstory. So we were under a sports podcast, and we weren't doing particularly well. And then we changed it to a comedy podcast, but that doesn't work because we're not even funny. And so then we decided, okay, we need to find a way to get to the top of some kind of ranking because our good friends at the League Freak podcast, Greeno, within 12 months, they went from zero to hero. They went to number one in the rugby podcast rankings worldwide, I think.
That's correct.
So they went to number one with a bullet. And we've been on their show. They've been on our show. Have they been on our show? I don't think they've been on our show. We've been on their show.
We've both been on their show individually. We really need to sort out a week where the League Freak and Fergo join our show.
So clearly it was our involvement that got them to the top of the rankings then.
We tipped them over the top.
Tipped them over the edge. So they went to the top of the rankings in the rugby podcasts. So we thought, well, we can't allow this to be the case because, you know, they're kind of like our baby. we're clearly the professionals here. So we need to find a category where we can go to the top of the rankings. So we decided on personal journals. This is a category of podcast. And we discovered that the number one in Australia in the personal journals category is a feminist podcast called Mamma Mia. So correct. Now we have a mission to unseat Mamma Mia from the top of the personal journal podcast rankings, you see. So how are we going in this mission?
Let's look at our stats first. So I've trolled through 1 through to 100. No block. So even with our new revamped Friday night schedule with no Friday night footy, we still haven't cracked the top 100. But my theory is we've got a bit of work to do. It's all upward from here. So once again, if you listen to the show, please subscribe on iTunes and make sure you're giving us a rating. Good ones, not shit ones. And if you're going to give us a shit one, just don't fucking bother. But I've looked through the top 100.
You know you've just invited a whole bunch of people to give shit ratings now by saying that, right? Yeah, I don't think you know how the internet works.
Now, here's what's got me thinking. Look, we can't be far off cracking this top 100, right?
Yeah. We've got to be 101 shaving it, I reckon.
Exactly. Because at number 99, and this one is gone up with a bullet, it's gone up 103 slots in 1 week.
Okay.
The Bug Whisperer.
The Bug Whisperer.
The Bug Whisperer is number 99 on the iTunes charts.
And what do they do on the Bug Whisperer? I imagine they train bugs.
They talk about bugs, Damo.
So what, we're talking now, like ants, moths, crickets, that kind of thing, caterpillars?
Could be anything.
Wow.
Select your bug and go nuts.
That sounds amazing.
Now here's what has kind of ticked me off a little bit. There are at least 9 or 10 Chinese-related podcasts that are still cracking out that's in the top 100.
In the Australian personal journals. Well, that should be alarming because there's that many Chinese speakers here in this country for a start. But putting that to one side, Greta, do you think Corona Chan might have been a plot just to get the Chinese speaking podcast to the top of the iTunes rankings?
Ooh, do you think this is basically part of the personal journals agenda?
Yeah, because if they've got 1.2 billion people, they can probably afford to kill 500 million of them. And then the remaining 750 million people well, they will just download all the podcasts, you see. But we're a little country here with 25 million. Like, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket to China.
Very good point.
So if they wipe us out with coronavirus, Greeno, like if we're all locked down, we're not recording podcasts all of a sudden. Next thing you know, there's 9 podcasts, Chinese-speaking podcasts, in the rankings for the Australian Podcast Personal Journals, baby.
So you're thinking maybe this is part of a wider plot?
Absolutely. I think this is a conspiracy. So not only are we going up against the forces of darkness in the Mamma Mia podcast, Greener, we're also standing against the communist state of China in order to get to the top of the ranking. So if you believe in what we're doing, then please subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a ranking. Leave a comment.
Give us a 5-star rating. I've got some good news for you, Damo. And drum roll, please.
Drum roll. I don't have a drum roll.
That's all right. At number 2 on the Personal Journals podcast rankings, Mamma Mia, No Filter.
Mamma, she's dropped from number 1.
She's dropped to number 1, from number 1 down to number 2. Overtaken by This American Life is now number 1. We've got a new number 1 up there that we're going to have to take down.
Now we've got to go against the Americans as well.
Don't get me wrong.
We're fighting against China and America.
Now we're going against China, America, and Mamma Mia.
You know, the smart thing to do would be to get China and America to fight each other. Then we can sail to the top. So can we start like a podcast feud between Mamma Mia and This American Life, maybe?
I think we can get a three-way kind of thing happening. Yep. The battle between the Americans, the Mamma Mias, and the Chinese to wipe each other out while we sneak in the back door to the top of the Personal Journal rankings. Yeah.
And just like the Israeli health minister, we love sneaking in the back door. It's what we love doing. It's coronavirus. Well done. is just punishment for being gay.
Now, Damo, while we've just gone through a complete list of podcasts, yes. You know what's kind of got me, I'm a little bit over at the moment?
What are you over?
In quarantine. Have you got list fatigue?
List fatigue?
I've got list fatigue, Damo.
Explain.
Now, because there's no content on any sports sites anymore, the only thing they can fill their pages or Twitter feeds or TV shows with is by creating a bunch of bullshit lists of the greatest of a certain topic.
Oh, yeah. Where we used to play football games, we're now down to number 21 on our greatest 100 football games coming up. It's a game from 1997 that nobody's thought about for more than 15 fucking years. Here it is.
100% right. Yeah. So everywhere I look, there's a new list. It's, you know, tell us your favorite sports movie. Here's our top 10. Mm-hmm. Tell us your favorite Jamaican bobsled movies. Here's our top 10.
Is there 10 of them?
Cool.
Is there 10 of them?
It's just Cool Runnings 1 through to 10.
Was there Cool Runnings 10? Was there? I didn't know that.
It's just the same one. Yeah, different titles. Now, the problem is that people have shot their load too early with this because we're only week 3 of quarantine.
Oh, yeah.
And the quality of the lists is diminishing already.
Mm.
So by the time we get to month 3 of this shit, I don't know what ESPN's going to pump out. Definitely got some list fatigue.
Well, my favorite ESPN 3030 is the Reggie Miller one. That's the best.
Oh, how good's that one?
That is the best ESPN.
New York.
Yep.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, I think it's like Indiana versus New York, but Reggie Miller, it's about Reggie Miller, but like the whole subtext to it is basketball in Indiana versus basketball in New York. It's one of the greatest fucking sports documentaries of all time. And they used to call him Cheryl because his sister was an amazing female player, right? They used to say, you're not as good as your sister. So, you know.
I was right. It's called, the title of the movie is Winning Time, Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks.
Well, there you go. So we know once they get to Paul fucking Gallen on 30-30, then we'll know that we're up shit creek, Greener.
Welcome to The Starting Block. Follow on Twitter at The Starting Block, drop the K at the end. Find the podcast on iTunes or on tavshow.com.
that. Could you got that?
Back. I don't know what the fuck that was, but we got through it.
That's Corona Chan.
That's right. Corona Chan, well done.
I love that video. Just the imagery of it. There's like the little part where she's whispering into Winnie the Pooh. So do you know the Winnie Pooh? See, this is the thing on this show. Greeno isn't very familiar with internet culture, right? And he doesn't run in the same internet circles that the rest of us probably do. If you're familiar with my show, and shows like my show, then Greeno is completely, you know, outside that realm. So there's a little, like, my favorite, that's my favorite scene here, right there. I'll throw that up on the screen for you. So do you know the Winnie the Pooh reference?
No, no idea.
Okay, so the president of China, Greeno, Xi Jinping, they've said that he looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
Okay. So, and he took this so fucking hard that everyone was memeing him into Winnie the Pooh that he banned Winnie the Pooh from China.
There you go.
So you can't make Winnie the Pooh references in China anymore. So now everybody else, like, because that's the thing, the Streisand effect, right? Once you try to ban something, once you say, oh, please don't make fun of this thing, everybody's going to fucking make fun of it on the internet.
Open season, yeah.
So that's my favorite little fucker. It's only up on the screen like during that song for like a split second, but her, she's coughing into Winnie the Pooh's face while he's sweating. You know?
Nice.
And again, if you're not familiar, Corona Chan, that's Corona Chan, the girl. She is the visual artistic representation of the virus in female form. So there you go.
There you go.
I love explaining internet culture to Greeno.
Oh yeah, I'm riveted.
Oh yeah, big fan. Link to song, please. I'll throw the link in the chat.
Damo, if we're going to talk Corona, there's only one thing I care about, and that's betting odds.
Betting
now,
odds.
Now, last week we created our own betting market that we decided. Look, hey, let's we can't bet on anything else at the moment. At the moment, you can bet on ScoMo's tie. That's about as much action as you can get out there on the Australian betting market.
Mm-hmm.
But we just wanted to throw it out there and say, hey.
Gee, I haven't even thought about it because I don't gamble like I used to. Like, I used to be a pretty hardcore sports gambler, you remember, back in the day.
Yeah.
But I haven't done that for a long time, for a lot of years, because personally for me, like, I didn't lose, like, a lot of money doing it. I probably won more than I lost. But it's the fact that you have to be so on top of all of the news constantly. Like, you have to be on top of so much statistics and fucking data in order to just make money doing it. So I was like, oh, God, you know, because you're just reading, like, you know, it depends, like, where they're playing, which players are playing, can this guy fucking kick, you know, all of this fucking shit. It all factors into everything when it gets into sports betting odds, and it just gets fucking way too much, so I just gave it up. But I haven't thought about that. Like, right now, it must be really slim pickings for the gambling community because nothing's going on.
There's nothing going on out there. It literally is a Central Coast report. But with that said, we decided, hey, we'll create our own market and get some juicy odds on it.
Get some juicy
odds. So last week, we put a little wager for you to bet on.
Yeah, I should have done my fucking homework, man, because, again, got to look at the data. I thought the Corona Chan in America was 100,000 last week. It wasn't. It was 200,000. No, that changes the bet entirely. 200,000.
Exactly. So we had a bet. What would have higher ratings? Last night's episode of Pooch Perfect or the number of US coronavirus cases as at this point in time when that episode went to air. Now, here's where the bet gets a little bit murky. Because it's Good Friday here in Australia, the ratings haven't been released. So we're a couple of days away from knowing the ratings.
I feel like we should just refresh everybody's memory about what kind of show Pooch Perfect is, Greedo. Do you think it's worthwhile doing it one more time just to let everybody?
It's probably safe to refresh everyone's memory.
So the replay viewers know what we're talking about here. So what will get more ratings? Pooch Perfect. So we're talking in the hundreds of thousands. So just say Pooch Perfect rated its tits off the first couple of shows, didn't it? Like it was up in the 400,000. It was up in the 500,000s, I think.
It was in the 400s for its debut episode. Correct. Okay.
That's not a good debut, by the way.
No,
not especially in the Australian market.
Especially when the US cases of coronavirus are currently sitting at 468,566.
Yeah, that's not good. See,
even without the ratings being given, I don't like your chances.
See, that's the problem. Last week, I thought Corona Chan in America was at 100,000. If it's at 100,000 right now, it would be around 300,000. But because it was at 200,000, now it's pushing 500,000, you see, because it doubles. Like there's an equation to it. So I got the fucking initial data wrong. It's my bad. I should have checked. I should have done my homework before I put the bet on, but whatever. He's Pooch Perfect.
The stat. Most importantly, though, he's the Pooch Perfect.
I don't think I've ever seen this before. Together, they bring so much joy to
this,
our lives.
Yes, this is Australian TV. This is the best we've got.
It's not just about cutting
a global phenomenon is coming.
Is that what it said? Global phenomenon?
A global phenomenon is coming.
The most expensive thing, the thing that cost the most on the production bill in this entire show was the rental of the car to drive up during the premiere. You know what I mean? And the lights. The lights cost a lot because those bulbs, they're expensive to replace.
Looking for the
most expensive thing on this particular production would have been
Rebel Wilson's
meal rider.
Rebel Wilson's snack tray. Because the meal ride is covered by the sponsors, but the network has to cover the snacks in between meals.
The snacks, look out.
Whole country.
Yep, this is Australian TV.
Doggos. I'm gonna call it Dogneyland.
She's so funny and charming, isn't she? Huh? Isn't she
Dogneyland.
Good? Isn't she good, Greener? You know the thing that I hate most about Rebel Wilson? It's the fact that she's so fucking talented. She's just got so much fucking talent. I've just got so much fucking talent. Macaroos, Greedo.
If a dog looks fabulous, it feels fabulous. Nah,
that's a dog biscuit reference. Where does she come up with the name, though? Where does she come up with
Where does she come up with this genius?
Groomers, you have 135 minutes to go. Wait.
I can't even watch the teasers without retching. And don't get me wrong.
So pretty safe to say.
And I'm a dog guy. I'm a dog guy. I have two dogs, and it's a big breed. I have Rhodesian Ridgebacks. They're fucking huge, right? They're little horses, basically.
They're horses, yeah.
But I can't watch a show with these fucking self-absorbed people living their life through their dog. God, it's fucking disgusting. It's disgusting. I can't watch this vehicle to keep fucking Rebel Wilson employed. Like, she has no right to be there.
Settlement. New idea. Like, I will give you a show. Go on in, Rebel. We got you covered.
We got you. We love you. We love you, babe. It's just jokes, Rebel. Love you.
Pretty safe to say that you've lost that bet. Now we need to frame a new market for next week.
Okay, right? What have you got for me? Give me something. Entice me, Greeno. Bring me in. What have you got for me? What are you putting on the table?
I'm going US Corona deaths next week.
Okay.
Total versus Pooch Perfect ratings.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm taking that bet every day of the week. How many deaths are there now? It's like 10,000, isn't it?
Well, you tell me. That's the thing. That's the research you got to do.
Okay. I think the corona deaths in the United States. Let's have a look.
I think it's about 20,000 is my guess.
Okay.
I reckon this in about 5% death rate of that 400.
Okay. Deaths. No. Well, yes, actually. New York, they're at 13,000. So they're at 16,000 deaths, but we're not getting into the conspiracy theory stuff here. Like, we're not talking about, like, is it due to coronavirus? There's no loopholes. We're just talking about reported deaths. I don't care if the reporting is fraudulent, that's a different discussion for a different day. But we're talking about betting wise, what are the reported deaths? That's what we're betting on. So
reported deaths US wide v Pooch Perfect ratings next Thursday.
Well, so can I double or nothing? Because I've obviously lost this bet. So can I get back to zero? Because I'm definitely taking the reported deaths. But if Pooch Perfect is off the air next week, that's a scratch.
No, if Pooch Perfect's off the air, they're rating zero.
No, so this is the line that I gave you last week when I said if it gets cancelled in 2 weeks and you said, no, that's a scratch. You just get your bet back. And I said, no. But if it's if its ratings are zero, but you can't change the fucking rules on me.
No, of course I can. This is a new bet.
Of course
I'm giving you better odds.
What are you talking about? This is the way betting works. We have established rules.
This is a new betting line.
No. Well, will more people die at the hands of coronavirus or watching Pooch Perfect? Maybe that's the fucking line that we need to investigate. And I put it at $2.10.
$2.10, easy. Easy money right there. I reckon Pooch Perfect will be on air next week.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the coronavirus deaths as well.
So you think there'll be more people that get killed in the United States, like reported deaths from coronavirus next week, than we'll be watching Pooch Perfect next week?
No, the opposite. I reckon I'm going overs unders. So I reckon Pooch Perfect will outrate the deaths in US.
Oh, yeah, definitely will. 16,000.
Yeah.
So even in a worst case scenario, just say that like 50,000, 80,000 people are dead by next week in the United States due to coronavirus reported deaths, there'll still be 100,000 fucking freaks who are willing to watch Rebel Wilson pat dogs for an hour. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing. This is why the cancellation means zero, because that's what makes it juicy. Because now we're kind of going, ooh, like, is the show actually going to be on air next
week? Well, now, see, I would like to take the cancellation bet because I think that would be juicier. So if it's over-unders, we're talking $1.90, right? Like just less than your double money. We're talking just a fraction less than 2-1. But the cancellation of Pooch Perfect, that should be like 5-1 for me.
Okay.
So I'm like, that's more.
You reckon Pooch Perfect will be on air next week?
Well, I do think it'll be on air, but if I was going to be enticed into a bet, it would have to be like I said, 5-1 that it won't be. Then I might take, then I might have a little fucking snatch at that. You know what I mean? That's a pretty good odd for me. But I'm going to say coronavirus deaths less than the ratings of Pooch Perfect. But I want to roll that into just to cover my bets. I'm going to split my bet, Greener. So I'll put 20 on coronavirus to be less than Pooch Perfect ratings. I think that's a safe one. But just in case Pooch Perfect gets cancelled, I'm going to put another 20 on Pooch Perfect or getting cancelled. 5-1, get 100. That way I'm covered for my first bet.
There you go. I like where your head's at.
Thanks, mate.
Gamble responsibly.
Think we should turn this entire fucking podcast platform into a gambling show where we just gamble
just
about
an
stuff.
Hour talking about fake
yeah,
bets.
But we'll just have a spreadsheet up on the screen at all times. Like, we won't even have any other graphics or anything. And we'll talk about the bets that we made the previous week about random shit. And then we'll make new bets. And then the spreadsheet will keep track of our wins and losses. And at the end of the year, we have a party.
That'd be riveting.
I think that's riveting a great show podcast idea. If we don't do it, somebody else is going to do it, Greener.
Someone
that's
else will steal our Pooch Perfect ideas.
Yep.
Damo, we asked the question last week of there's no longer.
Oh, hang on. Sorry to interrupt. Comment in the chat, Greener, from Victor von Schroom, who is in Holland. He brings up an interesting point here. Well, America's homeless problem might tip the scale as they get declared dead in the UK, Greener. So we haven't even factored in what happens if all of a sudden somebody collects all of this data from the homeless populations in New York and LA and says, hey, by the way, 200,000 people died from the fucking virus last week. Like, we've just collected all the data. It's hard to track homeless people. Ooh, that's tasty, isn't it?
Shit's getting juicy.
It's very juicy. That does change the odds, just in case that happens.
Just a tick.
How much can we get on?
We'll play it by
ear. How much can we get on an announcement that 200,000 homeless people have died in the United States in the next week? I'm going to put that
24 to 1.
Okay, I'll take that.
24 to 1. Yeah. If you take that, the 200,000 homeless die of coronavirus in the US next week. 24 to 1.
That has to be like the announcement of it, not that they just up and died, but the announcement that 200,000 people have died.
The announcement that was, hey, we checked the numbers. We've got to carry the one. Turns out, 200K.
Fantastic stuff.
Done. Where was I? Oh, what replaces footy this week? So we were questioning last week. Now that the footy has come to a halt for the immediate future, it turns out that the NRL had a meeting yesterday, and they're like, "Hey, we're gonna be back. We're gonna be back in May.
We're coming back, baby."
28th of May. But the problem is they've got to speak to any of the governments about whether they can come back or not.
Could be a problem.
You know, good on them, though. We'll be back.
NRL,
it's the Mitchell Johnson Award.
Don't
you
stop.
Ever get the Mitchell Johnson Award?
I think we do have the Mitchell Johnson Award somewhere. Where is he? Where are you, Mitch? You're hiding from me. There he is. There you go.
He'll be back.
I'm back.
I'll be back.
The NRL gives this week's Mitchell Johnson Award by announcing they'll be back on the 28th of May without checking with the federal government or the state government as to whether they can actually play footy.
Well, you know, these big sporting organisations, Greeno, in Australia, like the NRL, the AFL, they can just make their own rules. They're going to give a big finger to the government that they rely on to build their fucking stadiums. I'm sure that's the case. Yeah. I'm sure that's the reality instead of them just trying to lead fans on long enough for them to keep buying merchandise. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Or to not piss off Channel 9, who's trying to not pay the $130 million. Oh, I'm sure it's got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, they just signed that big fucking new TV deal last year, didn't they, for the NRL, didn't they?
A couple of years back, yeah. Either way, I was reading yesterday, if they don't play another game this year, Channel 9 saves 130 mil.
Wow.
So Channel 9's pushing pretty hard for games not to happen.
If Kerry Packer was still alive, he'd have an erection with a quarter pounder on the end of it.
But with that said, they've got all this time to fill, Damo, and we've known for weeks that there might not be footy, and we're excited to see what Channel 9 might be able to pull out of the vault and what kind of great programming they can replace Sunday afternoon footy with, Damo.
Sorry to interrupt.
This segment is a one joke fucking segment, and it's been going 8 minutes to get the joke in.
I know, but can I just interrupt just for a moment?
You can, while I go get a beer.
Okay, he's going to get a beer. That's kind of the whole point of this show. Greeno tries to keep the show going on track, and I try to derail it wherever possible. So just a thought that I was having yesterday, Greeno, when I was at work. So I'm driving around at work and, you know, I'm just thinking, because I don't have many, like, you know, the show I do can be pretty serious sometimes. And, like, if you're streaming a lot, it can be pretty intense because you're, like, you know, you're always sourcing content. You're doing podcasts and stuff. And then you work your day job as well. There's not a lot of downtime. The downtime that I look forward to is football season, right? And it's like
footy time, yeah. For me, it's baseball. Baseball's my release.
Baseball, yeah, but baseball goes fucking 10 months of the year. Football's like only a 6 months of the year fucking affair. And then I've got cricket in the summer, football in the winter. That's my things, right? But one of my favorite things to do is in the middle of winter in Western Sydney. You know those Western Sydney snap winters, like those cold winters in Western Sydney where it's like frost on the grass and shit? One of my favorite things to do is to walk up to, our team, the Giants, the home stadium, and you can see, like, when you go to our home ground, you have to park like a kind of like a 10-minute walk away. That's the closest car park. And you can see the lights
of the
stadium. Well,
it's not the closest car park. That's the one you choose.
That's the one I choose, yeah. It's the closest car park for me, like convenience-wise.
Yeah.
So you can see the lights, like, lighting the stadium up, and you see, like, the fog, like the steam coming off the lights and shit. And like I'm wearing like my big fucking winter jacket, you know, and walking up to the stadium, having a cigarette, like walking into the stadium with my scarf around my neck thinking, yeah, fuck yeah, tonight at the footy. You know what I mean? Just get in my chair, get a beer, get a hot dog or something. And I'm just going to fucking scream at the umpires for the next 2 hours, you know, like, fuck you, fucking get off him. That's like a release. You know what I mean? No. And just the whole ritual of going to the ground, going to the game, watching the game, fucking, you know, interacting, mingling, like being in a group of your own fans together, like I'm in the member stand, it's only fans of our team in that stand. So it's always like a collective like enjoyment that we have. And it's like 2 hours it's a week. Yeah, it's like 2 hours a week that I get to switch off and just forget about everything. And like I'm legitimately missing it now. You know what I mean? And people say, oh, fucking.
No, 100%.
People say, oh, it's fucking gay to watch sports. Fucking who cares about sports and stuff. It's like, bullshit. You're missing out on all of that meta shit. You're missing out on all of that stuff that's beyond the sports. It's the camaraderie. It's the atmosphere. It's the experience. It's the night out. Like, that's what you're missing out on. You know what I mean? Sorry to go serious,
for me,
but
it's the escape.
Just hit me yesterday.
No, well, I'll continue with that serious conversation because I've had the same thoughts this week where I like the escapism of just being able to flick on a ball game and wander around the house or go for a walk or whatnot. Not having that or being able to watch the replay of a game when I get home. Because people are like, oh, you know, there's all these great games you can watch from history. Sport is no good on replay. Like, no. If I know the result, it's no longer fun for me
it's
to watch.
Gotta be live.
I'd rather watch my team. I'd much rather watch my team lose 20-2 in a live game that I don't know they're going to lose 20-2 than watch a replay of them winning, you know, 5-1.
100%.
It's all about the live sports, about listening to what's kind of happening and just being immersed in the actual game. So whether you're a sports fan of AFL in your case, footy for a lot of people out there, or baseball in my case, it's the escapism that we've lost and that enjoyment. And it's funny because you never in our lifetime did we imagine we'd be in a scenario where there'd be no sport.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, people say like bread. You've heard the term bread and circuses, right?
Yeah.
So people who are hardcore like anti-government people, and I'm not pro-government by any fucking stretch of the imagination. Greeno knows that I'm not a pro-government kind of guy. Like I'm a very libertarian kind of guy. But so people who use that bread and circuses line, they fail to understand that there's a reason that bread and circuses exist. The reason that bread and circuses exist is not because like, oh, the government is trying to distract you from the government. The reason bread and circuses exist is they're trying to distract you from killing each other. That's what it is. Like, so like in the Roman amphitheater days, everybody would pile into the stadium and watch the fucking lion eat the slave. And that stopped, like that fulfilled the bloodlust in the people. So they could just go back to work and go home and like carry on with the rest of their life, knowing that next week there's another game, right? I can always come back next week. There's another game. So people who use like, oh, it's the government trying to distract you. And it's like, yeah, but they're not trying to distract you from the government. They're trying to distract you from realizing how much you fucking hate the person that lives next door. you know what I mean? So I am missing, not just, I don't hate my neighbors. I'm just putting that out there. But you know, I am missing that fucking, that once a week escape. I really am.
Yeah, 100%.
And we're only 3 weeks in, so.
Yeah, well, that's it. And you talk about the once a week escape. As a baseball fan, I'm missing 7 straight days every single week because there's 5 billion games on it at any one point. So it'd be nice once everything kind of gets back to normal and we can get back to that escapism.
Yep. Monica in the chat says I'm missing NASCAR. See, there are NASCAR freaks who travel around the country following NASCAR, right?
Vans and stuff, right?
Yeah, fucking all year round. Yeah. What are they doing now? Watching old NASCAR tapes.
Sitting in their camper, I guess.
Yeah, with nowhere to go. Fucking pity.
And once again, if you know the result, no fun watching.
Yeah, exactly.
What joke we're up to?
So what was the story?
Stories about pinatas.
Channel 9 have had forever to work out what they're going to replace it with. Last week they had Speechless, a 1994 romantic comedy about two speechwriters from opposing political parties that fall in love.
Yep.
This week, Damo, do you want to guess what, with all the weeks of planning they've had to be able to replace with quality content, do you want to have a stab at what movie they may have replaced it with this week?
Oh, they usually go to tired classics that everybody's seen fucking 100 times. So I'm going to go something like A Fish Called Wanda, maybe.
Oh, you're so fucking close.
Am
you're
I?
Funny.
I don't watch TV, so that is like a legit stab in the dark. I have no idea what he's talking about.
They decided to go with a movie from 1991, City Slickers.
Ah, so close.
So close to A Fish Called Wanda. I wish to replace. So they've decided to go with
Well done.
30-year-old movie. Well
30-year-old movie. Because it's boomers watching TV. Everyone else is watching YouTube.
Boomers watching TV. I've got to give a quick birthday shout-out to our coordinator of Break Even Day as well as
Unity Day.
Troy, who had a birthday this week. Now, BE did send us through a photo of Troy, but we didn't get permission, so we didn't show.
We didn't, to be more specific, Troy didn't get permission from his wife to show the photo that he sent us of him celebrating on his birthday. So we can't show you.
Kind of the reverse. So Troy's wife posted the picture, but I don't know if that was with Troy's consent, so we can't show it in our show. Either way, big happy birthday to Troy.
Happy birthday.
Now, Earth Report, there's no Earth Report this week, Damo.
No.
Because it was BE's daughter's birthday this week as well. So happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday.
The Earth Reporter in waiting. And obviously with Easter, plenty of things going on. But we'll make sure that the report is resurrected for next week. Now, like that one.
Speaking of erections, Greeno, I've got this.
Now, Damo. Oh, did you get something?
Yeah. When it comes to having kids, I don't see any difference between being 89 and 29. Bernie Eccleston tells of delight at being father again with wife Fabiani Flossi, 44, just 3 months short of his 90th birthday. Fucking the boys can swim, huh?
Bernie at 89.
Nice, Gary. Getting it done at 89, Greeno. He's an absolute beast, Bernie Eccleston. There he is. He looks out of it, doesn't he?
And I'm sure his wife's looking forward to changing both the kid and his nappy simultaneously.
the wife is looking forward to fucking him to death, I think.
Yeah. Getting that sweet cash.
How about that, though? How about that? 89 years old, still getting chicks fucking knocked up, man. Bernie Eccleston. What a legend.
His wallet is very attractive, Damer.
Can I give you a controversial talking point, like, and just dip back into sports for a moment?
Go for it.
Formula One was far better when Bernie Eccleston had complete control over it.
No, I think that's – well,
it's controversial.
About the racing or just the content in general?
Everything. The racing. Like, sure.
The racing's been shit for the last 5 years because Mercedes has just been dominant and there's no, like, there's less testing, there's less chance to be able to develop, there's all restrictions on being able to change the cars.
Bernie Eccleston was a guy who sucked Ferrari's dick, but always the other British teams always had a shot, right? Like McLaren and Williams and stuff. So it hasn't been the same for a long fucking time. So I just think it was better. Everything was better when Bernie was running it, believe it or not, because when Bernie was in charge, we were saying, oh, fucking get rid of Bernie. He's fucking ruining the sport, right? You know? But now they bring in all of these regulations and controls and shit, and now I can't watch it. I can't watch Formula One anymore, which is a tragedy because I grew up watching it. I grew up on Formula One. I love the shit.
Once Mercedes finally stopped winning every single race, it'll be much more entertaining. But until then, it'll be boring as batshit.
No doubt. But he's still knocking up models. That's the main thing.
At 89 years of age, well done, Bernie.
And he looks every day of 89, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. He's got a bit of an Andy Warhol look at the moment, doesn't he?
He does, definitely.
Looking at that picture.
Sensational.
Now, Damo, it's a sad day for the block because Socky announced his retirement from first-class cricket.
Steve O'Keefe. Throughout the course of the week.
Steve O'Keefe. Now, it was
marred with a little bit. Nice Gary!
Definitely nice Gary for Socky. Now, it was marred with a little bit of controversy because he sent out a thing going, it's been a privilege to play for my country and captain my state, but above everything else, I'm most proud of having played alongside some of the best blokes I've ever met. And it's like, oh my God, it's a really nice message. You decided to retire. Then the next article I read was, a disappointed Steve O'Keefe has retired from first-class cricket after he wasn't offered a new contract by New South Wales.
What?
So it turns out that even though he was New South Wales' best spin bowler last year.
Well, for 10 years. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but if we're talking about, maybe he was dipping. No, he was our best bowler, like one of our best bowlers last year. I think he had an average of 25 with the ball, took 20-odd wickets.
Always go down for me as someone, he's like in the Brad Hodge category, somebody who was robbed of international stardom in cricket, I think. Like just either for Brad Hodge, I think it was circumstance. For Socky, I think it was the fact that he liked to drink too much, you know, whatever it was.
And they asked him, so credit to him, he came out and did a whole bunch of interviews and they're like, oh, look, you must be disappointed. He goes, yeah, I'm disappointed I didn't get a contract, but I get it. I've made some decisions off the field that, have impacted their decision to not offer me a contract. Let's not forget, 2 years ago, before his contract kind of expired,
he got put on 1 year deals
at the awards ceremony, and decided to harass all the wives of the partners.
I love him. I love him.
And got him suspended for a couple of games.
See, that's why we love him on this show, though.
Because he's a lunatic.
Yeah, but he's party off the field, but fucking gets the job done on the field. See, I can if I'm running that team, I hire Socky every day of the week. If I'm running one of the other states' cricket boards, Greeno, I'm like, wait, New South Wales didn't fucking offer their captain a new contract? Oh, let's fucking get him in here. He'll probably pay for half the price.
Let's have a look. Can you hit a stat man for me?
Yes, I can. When I find it, God, I hate running the board.
I'm a scat man.
224 shield wickets, an average of 25 over 15 years.
Wow.
Can you hit another stat man for me?
Yep.
I'm a scat man.
Best match figures by an Australian in India in a test match.
I'm a Steve scat O'Keefe, man.
12 for 60. At Poon, 2017. Broke a record that was held since 1959.
Wow. And he can't get a contract.
Can't get a contract. Actually, how's this for a stat, though? So he took 12 for 60 at Poon in 2017.
Hmm.
Jason Crazier took 12 for 358 at Nagpur in 2008. That is unbelievable.
Fantastic.
358 runs conceded, 12 for Jason Crazier. So farewell to Socky. He'll definitely be missed from the cricket side. And even though we're not on camera, I am wearing my New South Wales Blues jersey.
I saw that. Well done. Well done, sir.
In honor of Socky.
So what is it? He won't play for somebody else?
Like he said he doesn't want to play for another state.
Fuck, you got to tip your hat to that shit, don't you? Jesus Christ,
he's
man.
He's very proud of his baggy blue. So
he's a New South Welshman through and through. Fucking, oh, nice, Gary.
Nice, Gary, Socky. Now, before we go, Damo, saw this. Did you hear about the controversy of the two Bulldogs players we talked about on the show? Basically got suspended.
Because they were having sex with 16-year-old schoolgirls? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's right. After school visit, that's right.
So hang on, just a bit of context. So professional football players in this country, because coronavirus was this during coronavirus?
This is pre-corona.
Pre-corona. So they were doing like a little community outreach program thing. And it's like, hey, why don't we send some of our players out to the schools to teach the kids some skills, you know, throw the ball around, kick the footy around, Greeno, like have a little fun, get our brand awareness up in the schools. And they thought, that's a fucking wonderful idea. The players went out there and started hitting on the girls at the high school.
When opportunity knocks.
When opportunity knocks, you got to take it. Don't miss your opportunity. And then they were like texting. The girls were even saying, wow, you're stalking my Instagram and stuff. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, come on over, you know.
Yeah.
It was really creepy shit.
It was very creepy. And admittedly, the girls were hitting on them simultaneously, but, you know, you got to know better. They're 17-year-olds. Yeah. So they were deregistered by the NRL last week, basically.
Aww.
Said, look, yeah, they were sacked by the Bulldogs, deregistered by the NRL. Now, breaking news this week, disgraced Bulldog star Jaden Ockenbaugh is appealing his indefinite NRL deregistration.
He's doubling down. I love the idea of like a meathead fucking rugby league player with neck tattoos going into court saying shit like, what do you want me to do, Your Honor? Like, she offered to suck my dick under the table. Like, are you going to fucking say no? Fucking come on, bro. Like, just be like, case dismissed. These fucking people are insane.
Same day, mate. Now, the good news is I believe the appeal will take place after Little Lunch.
Well done.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. That's all we got. The rundown's done. Have we got plugs before we go?
Yeah, follow Greeno at the starting block. One word, drop the K at the end. Follow me at Bookie Bumper. Actually, tomorrow night, Greeno, at midnight, I've been invited on Joy of Pessy's program.
Now, there you go.
Yeah, I've been invited to join Joy of Pessy, JJ Stoner, and The Big Empty. So Joy of Pessy does a show on Saturday night, midnight, US time, Greeno, East Coast, where they play a video and they provide commentary for the movie that they play. So no spoilers, but I've been told that the video that I'm going to be providing commentary for with the other three people is it's a police training video from like the 1980s. So that should be fun. So I'm looking forward to that. So that'll be tomorrow night at midnight East Coast time. Follow Joy of Pessy, dlive.tv/Joy of Pessy. Also, a big shout out to JJ Stoner for the link, Metal Trump. So dlive.tv/JJ Stoner. And who else? Follow everybody else, basically. There's your plug. Yeah, big plugs.
You know what it is. All right, guys, have a good Easter, and we'll see you all next week.
Happy Easter. Bye-bye.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that.
Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the truth?
You're listening to The Starting Block on TAVshow.com.